Yet again, the Average Network takes you deep beneath the teeming streets of Washington, D.C. to the Batcave of Count Richard Cheney, where we find Defense Secretary Rumsfeld and the head of Henry Kissinger. It is episode 58 of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World.
Would it help to adjust the color, Rumsfeld?
No, Doctor. The Japanese are on Wi-Fi, and we're still on cable. It's a transmission problem.
Well, we have a few more minutes. George and the Wove will be here soon. What's that?
No, it's a commercial.
I thought Ridge was getting you Wi-Fi.
You know Tom. He's easily sidetracked with his color code. Ah, we're getting something.
Arigato, Henry-san. Ah, rum.
We're getting some dropout, Master. Just a moment. Ah, try it now.
Are we quite functional?
We seem to be. You look well, Richard.
It's the camera. It adds 20 pounds.
Donald? Well, it is flattering, I suppose.
You look almost alive. I still look like a head on a tray.
We'll find a nice body for you someday, Doctor.
Everyone's working very hard on it, Henry. Any sign of George?
Not yet. He's only 10 minutes late.
His punctuality is beginning to degrade. You need to work on that, Richard. It was his only real positive.
Rove said he'd work on it. I've been rather busy concentrating on money and allies.
Any luck?
Not as much as we should prefer. I told the Chinese that some quiet payments might help their status in America. They certainly wouldn't prosper under a Kerry stewardship.
How did they take it, Master?
Difficult to say. Of course, Shai Bao has read the project for the new...
Oh boy, Wolfowitz.
You trained him yourself, Henry.
I did not train him to be a dolt. He brought that quality with him. He was only adapting one of your old papers.
And I only adapted your 1956 state paper.
Yes, but yours and mine only circulated privately. Wolfowitz of Arabia wanted everyone to know how clever he was.
The Georgometer is blinking. He's here. With Rove and Ashcroft, of course.
There were things to be said for a hospitalized Ashcroft.
We're here in the conference cavern, Mr. President.
Hey, Don. Hey, Henry. Man, Dick, you almost twice your size. Mighty fellas.
Dr. Henry, come
Carl,
see me.
Ashcroft.
Oh, Carl, I'm extending the deployment of 20,000 troops as we planned.
Ah, thank you, Rumsfeld.
What's that all about?
We're going to put out an ad suggesting that Kerry's first act would be to strand our troops in Iraq and leave them to the UN and the sand lice.
Well, at least there's something cheery.
What's the matter, Dick? Chinese food?
That's one thing, of course. In case you hadn't noticed, Mr. President, this has been another less than stellar week for our side.
How'd you figure, Dick? I thought we'd done okay.
Okay, did I hear you correctly? George's lackluster press conference mere hours after you accused everyone in the universe of lying about 9/11? Lucifer preserve us. No, we did not done okay.
Ashcroft, you went completely off script almost at once.
And waving your gun around wasn't a very good idea.
Why HM politicians, by gobs?
We are aware of that, John. Everyone in America is now aware of it. We had almost built you into a sympathetic character with your surgery.
But of course, no illusion can survive a dose of the real Ashcroft.
His vindictiveness is one of his more appealing qualities.
It's not that appealing. And George, who concocted that dreadful statement in the Q&A?
Carl done it.
What was wrong with it? I thought it was pretty swell.
Yes, but Carl, you also enjoy watching paint peel and glass blow.
Grass is too slow. I prefer
weeds. The point is, Carl, you're an amazingly dull person. What seems exciting to you reduces others to a catatonic state. George's statement was a rambling collection of disconnected clichés.
And, since his A's in the Q&A were mostly lifts from his statement, it was not only dull and boring, it was incoherent as well. You did this because you knew I'd stop you if I were in the country, didn't you?
By the time the pundits are through with this week, you will have handed Kerry 5 percentage points. As to Donald here extending the troop deployment, I don't like it, but it's unavoidable. Your plan for the ads may help.
Well, thank you.
We do appreciate intelligent work, Rue. Oh, dear sakes alive, what's happening?
You're pixelating, Master. We're losing the signal.
George, try not to do anything very much. I return.
What's he talking about?
He just said to stay out of trouble until he gets back.
And keep studying for the 9/11 commission. You received the cartoon?
Yeah, I like it. It's got rabbits in it. When am I going to see it, George?
You should have seen it before your appearance.
Oh, Henry.
Well, show it to
me. It'll help when he's recalled, Doctor.
Boy, there's a happy
thought. So what should me and Carl do until Dick gets back?
Donald, show him the schedule. No, the one with the balloons and the
here, elephants. Sir. Here, Carl.
Oh, man. I hate visiting military bases. The food stinks and they all bigger than me. What am I going to do, Henry?
Do whatever you do best that can be done very quietly.
Planning hangings?
If that's what you do best, and I rather
suspect
it
is.
Then by all means, do that, please.
Me and George is going to get us a bill protecting fetuses from fairies, so ain't no pregnant women can even know a
well,
fairy.
Well, that should keep you two occupied for a while.
Why, we just come up with the idea. We's getting Bill Frist and Mitch McConnell to write it up. Mitch is going to put a bunch of military money in it, mostly for Kentucky.
Well, at least McConnell is never obvious, is he? It really isn't funny, you know.
Yeah. By gobs.
Episode 58 of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World, was written and produced by Uncle Bob Young and the Average Network Drum and Bugle Society. All celebrity impersonations were accomplished by passing cheesecloth over a Jacob's ladder. Children, do not try this with your cheesecloth. This is Pablo T-Flies for the Average Network, raking up the old wazoo and instructing you to stay tuned.